Terrahawks, stay on this channel. This is an emergency.
Hello and welcome to Retrospection, where we take an old show or film and see if we should defend it with the strength of a secret organization or just let it be destroyed. My name's Colin, and you don't really think of us as men, do you?
You? Never. And I'm Paul, and I didn't have a grandfather. I had a test tube.
That's why you walk that way. Right? That makes sense.
Well, that way? Yeah. I just think of Run DMC then.
Oh, no, it's in my head. And in this episode, we're taking a look at Terrahawks, which ran from 1983 to 1986 and was created by Gerry Anderson and Christopher Burr.
I couldn't believe it ran for so long, and I looked it up.
Yeah, I don't remember it running for three series either.
No, from what I remember, I think ITV, the channel in the UK where I watched it, they used to show the same episodes every Sunday.
Yeah, strange, right? Also, before I continue, did you look at some of the opinions on IMDb about it?
I didn't, no.
They're like 10 out of 10, greatest thing ever. There's one that's almost like it's therapy for him. It's some kind of foaming at the mouth, positive reaction to it. I don't remember it being this popular.
Well, I mean, it was kind of a therapy for me as well, because I was very relaxed at the end of it.
Yeah. Was you in that massage place again?
I really shouldn't take my iPad in there with me, should I?
No, you shouldn't. No, there's other things to do.
Yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, if people get something from this, you know.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, no, I was just, it's not how I remember the reaction to the show being, and I was surprised when I read through. That's all.
No, I always thought that the reaction to the show was quite average, to be honest.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll love it.
I know. The series is set in the far future of 2020.
It's still the future.
What is it with Gerry Anderson setting stuff like just up the road in time-wise?
I know. So what, 1999 was what? Made in 72?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're talking 20 years. It's 20-odd years.
Yeah. And then this is made in 83 and he sets it in 2020, I guess. I mean, eventually you're going to reach the year of everything that's ever made, right, in the future, so.
Didn't we reach the Blade Runner year this year?
Yeah, so it's set in 2020 after an alien force has destroyed NASA's moon base and threatened Earth. An organization known as Terrahawks is created to defend the planet from the secret base Hawkness, located in South America. And this is Terra as in Earth, T-A-R-R-A, not Terror, as I always seem to think it was.
Yeah, I think I always thought it was Terror, yeah. Terror as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, but it's not.
Sorry, here's a question for you then. Oh. They destroyed the moon base.
Yes.
So we've got a moon base in this Gerry Anderson universe as well. Have we got a moon base in every Gerry Anderson show then?
I don't know about...
There's one in UFO, isn't there?
Right. There's one in UFO. There's obviously one in Space 1999. Mm-hmm. Is there one in Captain Scarlet and Thunderbirds?
Ooh. I know they've got a satellite, haven't they?
If you have the answer, then send a postcard to Paul Wood...
No, don't. Somebody will put something on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
Calling his names.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be usual. Terrahawk stars the voices of Jeremy Hitchin as Dr. Tiger Ninestein, Colonel Johnson, Lieutenant Hero and Hawkeye, Denise Breyer as Mary Falconer and Zelda, Anne Riddler as Katie Kestrel when she's speaking, and Moya Griffiths when she's singing.
Right.
Yeah, because she has her disguise is that she's a... pop star.
We didn't see any of that in these
no later on we get a lot of episodes with music with her singing and stuff, and she released an album,
really,
apparently.
Oh.
Windsor Davis as Sergeant Major Zero and Robbie Stevens as D-Sweet and 101, although we don't get D-Sweet is not in this episode. 101 is D-Sweet is a French speaking Zeroid who apparently has a handlebar mustache for some reason.
You know, that doesn't surprise me, looking at what's in this episode. Yeah. Seriously. So, 101's a bit troublesome.
Could be.
Yeah. Be interesting when we get to that.
It will. Now, this was Anderson's first show for over a decade to only star puppets, and it's his last truly puppet series as well.
Killed it.
I don't know if you know this, but he was never a fan of He never started off wanting to do puppet shows. He just fell into that, and he really didn't like doing puppet shows. He wanted to do live action.
Bit like the way you've fallen into doing a podcast. I wish all the listeners could see the look on your face.
So writers for the show, like Tony Berwick, used aliases for different episodes, including Anne Teakstein and Felix Katstein. So they all had to play on the word Stein. No one used the real names.
So does that come from the Neinstein?
Yeah, Neinstein. Yes, it does.
Right.
Yeah. When they do the first episode, they use the real names, and then other episodes, they use this fake name, except for Jerry Anson, who always used his real name.
Yeah, obviously.
Music was written and performed by Richard Hervey.
What else did he do?
A lot of TV stuff, Luther, Melissa.
Oh, so he's still working today?
Up till 2015.
That surprises me, having listened to the soundtrack to this show.
You don't like it?
Well, did you read the note about Jerry Anderson wanted the theme tune to be very reminiscent of Star Wars?
Well, it's got that kind of bombastic.
Well, there's three notes. Yeah, there's a few notes at the end of the theme tune that are straight ripped from Star Wars.
Well, then he got what he asked for.
But it's kind of like the Star Wars theme tune, you know, filtered through Rick Wakeman's keyboard, isn't it?
Yeah, I also think he did the theme to Tales of the Unexpected.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That stirs nostalgia for most people of our age, right?
It does.
Yeah.
It does, yeah.
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 Yep.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I don't know. Do you remember the opening credit sequence, right?
Oh, I know what you're getting at. Yeah. Yes, okay. I know exactly what you're getting at, yeah.
All right. Okay. The opening and closing sequences of this show were made with hand-drawn cell animation made to look like computer graphics. And the opening and closing were different in Japan, as they had a more anime-influenced version.
So I would imagine this went down very well in Japan.
Japan likes a lot of Jerry Anderson stuff. It's huge over there.
Well, they're big on...
Careful, Paul. What are they big on?
You know, mech stuff, that kind of thing. They like all that kind of thing, don't they?
That's true,
they're
so
popular.
Yeah. Do you have any other info you like to sling? Like a chimp throwing poo?
Interesting analogy, considering we're watching Terror Hawks. Did you read that the original 16mm masters of this are no longer in existence, apparently?
Oh, really? But the network have done a Blu-ray release, so what were they based on?
I don't know what they've got those from, but apparently they're either no longer in existence or are just missing and no one knows where they are.
Sylvia Anderson nicked them.
Did you know that there was a Big Finish Audio cast revival in 2015 and 16?
I did. I wonder if that's any good. I like their stuff.
It might work better when you can't see it.
I don't think they're going to put that on the poster. Terror Hawks, better if you're blind.
We could put it on the podcast, better if you're deaf.
Yeah, that is true. Wait, what?
Hey? There was also a comic strip that appeared in Looking Magazine. Did you...
I didn't know
you remember
that.
Looking Magazine?
Oh, I remember Looking Magazine. Yeah. I think I got Looking Magazine, but for a very short period of time.
Oh, I never missed an issue for a period between probably 1981 to about 1987.
Wow, that's a good chunk of time. Do you still have those?
I haven't got the issues, but I've got a lot of the annuals.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know why I never got into Looking, really.
Mm. I used to like the fact pages. Did you also know that there was a CRL video game released in 1984?
A what video game?
CRL. Do you remember CRL?
I don't think I do. Who...
They were a software company. They made a few games in the 80s.
Okay. Wonder what that was.
It was released
like.
On Commodore 64, Spectrum, that kind of thing.
Oh, I never had that one.
No, I didn't even know it existed.
Oh, I have to check it out. I bet it's good.
Said with such conviction there, Colin.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Thanks.
Who says you can't perform?
Right?
No.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
I've got pills.
Also, earlier this year, Anderson Entertainment announced a revival's in the works called Kate Kestrel and the Terrorhawks.
Is that recently?
Yeah, 2019.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They said it's in the works.
As animation?
I don't know.
No, that's all we got.
Yeah, that's all we've got, yeah.
Well, there's been a couple of revivals of those shows. Captain Scarlet had a CGI version, and Thunderbirds of Go is doing really well.
You really like
that? Yeah, no, I really like it. Do you know Lee Majors is going to be playing a character in the new season of Thunderbirds of Go?
Lee Majors, didn't he play Colt Seavers in The Fall Guy?
Yeah, he did. That's right.
Oh, that would be interesting. I've always been a fan of Lee Majors.
So have I. But yeah, I like that show. It's a good mixture of animation and CGI, and each episode is like a film. Yeah, it's good. The Captain Scarlet one. Oh. The stories are really good in the Captain Scarlet one. It's very dark for a children's show. The CGI is lacking, mm-hmm. though. It's not very good animation.
It's older, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's when they first tried it, yeah. Mm. Now, the new Thunderbirds Ergo is a mixture of animation and actual model work done by Weta, you know, the Lord of the Rings New Zealand.
Oh, really? There's actual model work in it?
Yep, there is, yeah.
I might have to check that out, then. I didn't realise. I thought it was just all CGI.
Nope. Ships and Tracy Island and anything like that are actual models.
Mm-hmm. I should say as well, regarding Terrorhawks, we used to watch it, didn't we? Tea time, Sunday afternoon?
If you say so. I definitely watched it. I can't remember when it aired, though. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did.
And so you did watch it at the time?
Yes.
A fan at the time?
I'm not sure if I was or not. It's never stayed with me, you know. Mm. But I know that I watched it all, but I just, I don't know. It's weird.
I have vague memories of enjoying it a lot, but... Like you, I'd never gone back to it. This is the first time I must have been back to it in about 20, possibly 30 years. So this is going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that it?
Have we got anything to listen to?
Well, there's no trailer for this episode, so shall we just jump right in?
Okay.
All right. We begin with a shot of a monitor and what looks like a video game being played. But this is quickly stopped with a communications interrupt and the appearance of Dr. Tiger Ninestein, or Ninestein. How are we going to pronounce it?
You go with whatever you want. I'm sure I'll say it at least half a dozen different ways as we're going on.
I'm going with Stein, like Frankenstein. Makes more sense, okay. Right? Because
he looks a bit like a Frankenstein.
And he's created. He's not. So I think that's what...
Maybe that's what they were going for.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, Paul. Okay. So he interrupts the video game. He says, "Terrorhawks, stay on this channel. This is an emergency." The show's logo flies onto the screen and the opening credits appear. The credits show us the characters and give us the backstory to the show. Handy, right? That's kind
of awesome. I mean, it cuts a lot of time, doesn't it?
It certainly does. Mars mm-hmm. has been invaded mm-hmm. and Earth attacked by an evil old crone called Zelda. We see a picture of her. Paul's thinking, I would.
Well, I've had worse.
Yep.
He agrees.
Earth is defended from Hawknest, and we see images of the crew and their names. First off is Lieutenant Hero, who works from a craft in orbit. We then see Lieutenant Hawkeye and Captain Kate Kestrel and the ship they usually pilot. Next is Captain Mary Falconer, and then we see the Zeroids. These are spherical robots that form the soldiers of the unit. And then it shows Dr. Tiger Ninestein. Mm-hmm. Now, these are not all their real names. These are like code names. I didn't realize that.
I didn't know that.
No, it's in the wiki page, apparently.
So Kate Kestrel isn't really her name?
No. No.
Not even the Kate bit?
No, her real name is Catherine Wesley.
Does it ever tell you that in the show, then, do you think? Or...
I don't know, because Lieutenant Maybe Hawkeye is called Hedley Howard Anderson III.
I can see why he went with Hawkeye.
Yeah, I can too. And Hero, full name unknown, it says.
So it's an interesting collection of characters.
Yeah, it is. It's very much from all around the world, typical of a Gerry Anderson show of, you know, Space 1999 UFO type.
Yeah, they did it better though, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Yes, and we'll get into that. The name Terrorhawks flies onto the screen and we're told it is filmed in Super Macromation and Hudson Color.
Mm-hmm. Hudson Color.
Oh, yeah, which is meaningless because Hudson's just the name of the Rolls Royce in the show. And I guess because the...
So what's Super Macromation as opposed to Super Marionation then?
Closer.
I read it's something to do with not... They don't have to use the strings anymore. Ah. They're done like Muppets. So they're puppeteered from underneath rather than above.
It's almost like you ask me a question and already know the answer just to feel superior.
Me? Yeah, never. I would never do that to you.
Okay, so that's what it is, right? It's still made up.
They're underneath. Oh, it's about everything. Oh, Super Mario Nation's made
Although,
up,
I guess it's his technology. They invented this to a certain degree, the way it works. So call it whatever you want.
How do you feel about the puppets then? Do you think that they're better than stuff they did before?
Yeah.
Because the idea was that they were supposed to be better. I read that they were meant to be more realistic.
I think they're better. Yeah, so the ones in Thunderbirds had large heads, and then the ones in Captain Scarlet had heads that were proportional to the bodies. And now in Terrox, you see a further evolution. It seems like each show, they do push the technology along.
They've got a... I don't know, though. In this, though, they seem to have a weird... they've got a weird look about them, haven't they? It's almost that kind of uncanny valley look to them.
Yeah, and I also have a problem telling Hawkeye and Ninestein apart. They're very similar looking.
Yeah, I mean, they're completely different character-wise, but right. I see what you mean.
Like, one looks like a younger version of the other. Yeah, do you think that's where it's reaching, that it reached a point where it became unsettling? And
I think so.
Okay. We cut to the episode title, Expect the Unexpected, shown over a planet in space. A ship flies overhead that looks like a metallic spider creeping through the universe. We hear Zelda in a voiceover.
Oh, you're gonna do the voice? I love this every week. Great.
I haven't attempted this at any point, so this could be interesting. Planet Mars, a small step for us. But a large step towards mankind.
Keep going.
No, I'm not doing it.
Keep going.
No, shut up.
No, it was good. It was great. It was like she was in the room.
Yeah, fuck off. We hear Zelda in a voiceover. Planet Mars, a small step for us, but a large step towards mankind.
Okay.
We hear the voice from the NASA Mars Expedition Base saying that an alien ship is approaching and that they're broadcasting the message in all Earth languages. We are an unarmed geological base. Our purpose here is peaceful exploration of this planet. At which point, the enemy ships open fire. Maybe they should have said something like, we contain large amounts of nuclear weapons and the slightest explosion will blow this entire universe up. Maybe that would have helped.
Yeah. They should have pulled a Corbomite maneuver, shouldn't they?
Yeah, don't tell people you're peaceful. We have no weapons and you could just kill us instantly. Don't do it.
But she blows them up, basically.
Oh, yeah, she does. There's multiple explosions on the base and we hear Zelda laughing.
This actress, she is an actress, isn't it, doing this voice? Not a man.
No, it's the same person who plays Mary Falconer. A lot of the voices are the same. There's only like half a dozen actors, and they do all different voices.
She's really enjoying it, though, isn't she? Doing Zelda, you can tell.
Yeah, I read that the Zelda type voice is the one that she normally does for other things. The Mary one is one she doesn't normally do, which is more like a normal voice. Oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. The attack ship returns to the spider-shaped mothership. Each of the attack ship forms a kind of leg to the other ship, and it doesn't look like a spider anymore, and it's hard to describe the shape. The ships are interesting in Terrahawks, I think.
Yeah, they're good-looking ships, I think. They work really well.
Yeah, are they as good-looking as the Enterprise, Paul? Do you want to mate with these ones?
I would never cheat on the Enterprise.
Okay.
She's my girl.
Hey. Hashtag me two starships.
I don't think you can sexually harass a starship, can you? Whoa, you got some crack in the cells, love, I tell you.
It doesn't sound good, though. I don't think it's good. No, Paul, don't do that.
All right, I won't do that.
Now to capture my stepping stone.
He's going again.
Continues Zelda in voiceover. To planet Earth. And the ship is now formed a base on Mars. So what do we think of the planet effects and the model work so far?
The ships are good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The planet effect, not so much.
Okay.
It looks like a model blowing up.
Right, yeah.
Right. I mean, they all look like models, but some better than others.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, we are dealing with a puppet show, so I can cut it a bit of slack.
It's all within the same universe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prepare for my first attack on Earth.
Are you going to do this all the way through?
No. I'll stop now.
I'm going to say, you're going to have to get some lozenges out because you're going to really hurt your throat keep doing this.
It's good though, right? It's better than I thought it'd be.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very good. It's like she's in the room.
Yeah. Prepare for my first attack. It doesn't sound the same when I do it in my normal voice, though. Prepare for my first attack on Earth. A saucer section of the top of the base lifts off. We fade into an image of planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
We see an image of a big house surrounded by rose gardens and a giant statue. When is a house? Not a house. When it's the White House, says a voice. Paul, I think they're using our comedy script writers.
This is funny.
That's true. 1,000 feet beneath the surface, the Battle Hawk, flagship of the Terra Hawks, is ready to engage the invaders from Mars. So this Battle Hawk is underneath the house, right? We get that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And this isn't the White House as in Washington, D.C. This is just a house that looks like it, and it's in South America.
Yeah, that's white.
Yeah. Okay. Very confusing.
Mm.
We cut to the inside, the Battle Hawk. Lieutenant Hero is with Dr. Ninestein and they're looking at images of Zelda's base on Mars. Hero asks him what he thinks and Ninestein replies that they're definitely mechanical metamorphs. Oh, well, yeah, of course they are. That's what I was thinking. How the hell does he know this? Where's he got this?
He does that a lot, have you noticed?
Just makes stuff up.
In these episodes.
Yeah, he goes, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. It's like, anybody can do that.
I've got things to say about Ninestein.
Yeah. Hey, here's what we'll do. You pronounce it Ninestein and I'll pronounce it Ninestein, and at least one of us is right.
Yeah, exactly. 50-50.
Okay. Yeah, 50-50. Yeah. So he goes on to say, certainly offensive and preparing to attack. Again, just jumping to conclusions.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah. It looks like our first 10:30, he says. That's funny. My 10:30 is usually a dump. But okay, whatever takes your fancy.
Oh, there's loads of that in this, though, isn't there? 10:30s, 10:45s.
Yeah, right.
10:60s. I don't know what any of it means, but
yep,
they love saying it.
They do. Lieutenant Hero replies with, okay, and let's address this here, because he says, exactly.
So I was going to say, Hero, do you want to describe the look and the voice of this character, Colin?
I think the word stereotype.
Because we haven't said, have we? We haven't said what he's meant to be.
He's Japanese. He's got thick-rimmed black glasses, and he mixes up his L's and his R's when he's speaking English.
He does. Yes.
But there's worse than that.
Do you know what I'm going to say? Do you know what I'm going to say?
What?
You know what I'm going to say.
No, I don't.
It was the 80s.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's what you're going to say. Well, you're going to say it again in a second because Ninestein replies with, have a good fright, meaning flight. Now, does he think Hero can only understand him if he switches his R's and L's, or is he just a casual racist?
He's a casual racist who's taking the piss.
Basically. Okay.
Yeah. And I think that was aimed at making the kiddies laugh at the time as well.
Oh, much better.
You know, let's promote the casual racism in the schools, obviously. You know, right, it's 1980s.
So we cut to a big tree and we hear Ninestein saying, Treehawk, you have a 10:50, which is wrong because it's only a few minutes after we had a 10:30. It's like 10:32 at best.
Is that how it works?
That's how it works. No.
The seriousness of the threat goes up.
Yeah.
With the numbers.
With the numbers, right? That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We cut to Lieutenant Hero is sitting in a craft at a 90-degree angle. He says, 10:10. I'm beginning to suspect they can't tell the time. All the clocks are completely messed up. No, actually, all these numbers are code words meaning something like FAB in Thunderbird. So 10:10 is like ready to go. 10:30 is like we've got an operation. 10:50 is he's free to fly. You know, they all mean something.
But it works better as a word than it does as numbers, don't you think? FAB, it makes sense instantly. But the numbers, they're just meaningless numbers.
Well,
really,
they aren't just numbers, but they use the same ones to mean the same thing all the time.
Hmm.
Oh.
Not convinced.
All right.
I've got nothing against numbers.
Well, you've never been a big fan of them.
No, but, you know, I've learned to love them. Yeah. Me and numbers go way back.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got a checkered history, you know.
I was going to do, like, like a 32, a 28, and a... But then I don't know what those numbers mean, so I could have just described a spherical object for all I know.
Very small at the top, very large at the bottom. Yeah, oh, like wait, hang on.
Wait, is it that Whizbit?
It's a Weeble Wobble, isn't it?
No, Whizbit. You loved Whizbit.
What was Whizbit?
That triangle thing that Paul Daniels worked with on that kids show.
Oh, yeah. No, I did love Whizbit, yes. There you go. I haven't thought about Whizbit in 35 years.
Well, now you'll be thinking about it as you go to bed.
I sounded uncomfortably, yeah.
Well, Whizbit, like that, Whizbit is sure. Uncomfortable. It's triangular shaped.
I bet he is.
The tree separates and the music increases. Lieutenant Hero's tree hawk launches from the fake tree and blasts into space. And then it dock with a craft in orbit. And Lieutenant Hero says, 101, I am docking with Space Hawk now. See you on the flight deck. 101 responds with, 10-10.
I wondered where you were going to go.
So
we've got Hero, who's Japanese.
Yes.
And then we've got 101, who is, what is he?
No, you started this conversation. You tell me.
he's very relaxed, isn't he?
Yes, he's very relaxed. Yeah.
He's very relaxed.
Casual.
Yes. He probably hangs out in a certain kind of bar, I would have thought.
Oh, really? What kind?
Wetherspoons.
Almost like we planned this. Unfortunately, it's because it's the only bar name we could think of.
Yeah.
So we cut to inside, and Lieutenant Hero is saying hello to his flowers, which all have women's names like Cassandra. And he compliments them on how beautiful they look and how they've grown. Behind, we see 101, which is a zeroid. So it's a ball, basically, right, with two eyes. Yeah. And it's sitting on a metal pedestal that they use to make them the same height as people. Lieutenant Hero is pleased that 101 has obviously been talking to the plants as he was instructed. And 101 responds with a, yes, sir. Hello?
He doesn't say like that.
No, not even as butch as that, right? And I've never been accused of being butch before.
You found your line.
Yeah. Lieutenant Hero says that Dr. Einstein says the plant flourished because of the zero gravity, which doesn't seem obvious to the way the puppets are moving around in this space dock, but all right.
I never thought of that. So there's supposed to be zero gravity in this space station.
Well, that's why he says the plants, unless they switch to zero gravity when there's nobody's aboard and then switch back when Hero docks, which is possible,
I suppose.
Let's
go with that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But Hero believes it's because he talks to them. He says to 101, do you know what Einstein says to me when I tell him that? You're a nut, replies 101. Exactly, says Lieutenant Hero, unfortunately.
He says it a few times, and he's not the only one that says it.
I know, that's what makes it works, right? We cut to a shot of the alien craft approaching Earth. We hear Zelda speaking again. I'm on my way, Earthlings. Cut to Einstein playing the video game from earlier, and he's at 748 on the score. Next to him is Sat Murray. Mm-hmm. Oh, 749. He's finally going to beat that high score. Oh, but the game is interrupted by Lieutenant Hero on the screen. Einstein's annoyed. Lieutenant Hero tells him there's an energy force. Einstein guesses that its trajectory is from Mars to Earth. Again, how does he know?
Yeah. So a few things about Einstein here. For a start, have you noticed that when he talks, he sounds like he's completely stoned?
He's supposed to sound like Clint Eastwood. It's supposed to be a version of Clint Eastwood, apparently. That's what it's based on.
No, he sounds like he's stoned. So to the point where I'm pretty sure that when he's playing that computer game, if you looked under the desk, you see a huge bag of Doritos under there.
Wait, why? Doritos make you stoned?
Well, they make you hungry, don't know.
Well, I think you've been misinformed, Paul. You're like chugging down Doritos going, I'm still not very happy. I'm not mellow. Very hyper.
The other thing as well, is it me or do these two characters bear striking resemblances to Koenig and Dr. Russell from Space 1999?
Oh, I never thought of that, but yes, Murray does, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, yes. Well observed, Paul. Glad you watched it.
Thank you.
Murray says they have all of Hero's computer data, but is there a visual citing it? Hero asks 101 to check. 101 says, I'll check again, sir, in a mixture of sarcasm, campiness, and annoyance. It kind of sounds like you.
I'm not sarcastic.
Oh, that's true. Just campy and annoying.
Right. I set it up for you. I set it up.
Yeah.
Now, is it me now? Does no one like Einstein either? I mean, all the spheroids or whatever they're called, they don't like him at all, do they? They can't stand him.
I think it's because, and I may be wrong here, it's because Einstein's a dick.
I think that's probably the reason.
I think, right? He's just nasty to everybody.
He is.
Now, he's a mechanophobe.
Ooh.
Yeah. He hates mechanical objects that show human emotions. He thinks all mechanical objects should be without emotion and just follow orders. In a later episode, he makes all the Zeroids lose their accents and have one single voice.
Oh.
This backfires on him because Sergeant Major gives them all his voice and it drives Einstein up the wall because they all sound like him. And so, but yeah, he thinks androids should be androids. But he's still a dick.
I see, okay. Right. He's a dick.
Yeah.
He's a dick. And he gets more dickish as it goes on.
And that's one of my problems with the show is I don't like the main character because I'm assuming he's supposed to be the main character, right? Even though it's an ensemble show.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
I have problems with him.
I have similar feelings about most of the characters in it. I don't find any of them particularly warming or likable.
That's a problem.
Zelda's all right. Zelda's all right.
I can see why you like her. So, an antenna pops out of 101's top and he instructs Zeroids 1 to 100 that they have a contact and that they keep their eyes peeled. Outside of space dock, we discovered that the visual detection is 100 Zeroids all stirring into space, looking around and making odd noises. The one thing you got to say about this show is clearly the writers or the creators were on drugs at the time that they made this.
Yes. They're all kind of like gibbering to each other.
Yeah,
right?
They're like that. Yeah. Charlie says.
Yeah. So like that, yeah.
But you can't fault it for its originality.
In some ways.
Yeah.
In other respects, I do think that they're just riffing on past things that they've done before.
Yeah, and we probably.
There's bits of Thunderbirds, there's bits of Space 1999, there's bits of UFO.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with you there. Yeah. So we cut back to Battlehawk. Einstein says they must have a visual sighting by now. Murray agrees that according to the census they should, but the Zeroids report no, and 100 Zeroids can't be wrong. But Einstein says, neither can our sensors. I mean, why does he sound like Roger Moore suddenly? Hello? a woman?
A woman?
Sorry.
No. He wasn't as camp as that. No. A woman?
Ah, yeah, but he just sat down quickly. But
the trousers were tight in the '70s.
Einstein's supposed to sound like Clint Eastwood, kind of. It's a riff on him.
Doesn't work.
No, he tells Hero to lock onto the energy source and blast it, which appears to be Einstein's answer to everything, right?
Yeah, just shoot at it and see what happens.
Yeah, that's his solution. But Hero says they don't even have a radar echo. Einstein tells him, "Do it anyway." 101 tells the Zeroids covering Mars sector to open fire. Oh, they do, and there's explosions in space. But the energy source is still heading for Earth.
Mm.
We see a shot of Earth slowly approaching, then cut to the White House and the water around it. Then inside we see another craft ready for launching. It's Kate Kestrel as the pilot and Hawkeye on the wing. A vent under the water starts to spin and creates a funnel in the ocean. The ship launches through the funnel, out of the water and into the sky.
It sounds more impressive the way you describe it than what it actually looked like.
Oh, you didn't like it?
It was a bit wibbly-wobbly when it came out of that water, don't you think?
Oh, it's always wibbly-wobbly when it comes out of water.
What have I told you about sharing your private life on the podcast? You need to keep it separate.
Sorry. I didn't mind it because I liked the idea of the funnel being created. You know what? Yeah, I don't think that would.
Idea.
I don't think that would work, but I like the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mary says the energy source is approaching the ionosphere at Mach 6.
I haven't got a Mach joke.
Oh, that's a shame.
Have you not got one?
No, I don't do Mach jokes. I crossed those off years ago.
I think it's time to have a return.
Yeah, okay. Well, next time then we do something with Mach in it, I'll do a Mach joke.
Okay, return of the Mach.
Yeah.
That was one for our 90s listeners. You didn't get it, did you?
Nope, not at all. Good. I'll let it slide and I'll live on in my I'll live on with the mystery. Somehow I'll cope. The long winter evenings draw in and I'll be sat there going, what did he mean by that Mach joke? I'll never know.
It'll hit you one day.
Oh.
On your deathbed.
On my deathbed. Yeah, probably.
You can go happy.
Oh, I've been happy before.
You say that you're trying to convince me.
Yeah, I was. No, convince myself.
It was that one time in 1979.
Wait, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, probably. It sounds about right.
Yeah.
Kate reports that there's still no radar echo. Einstein orders Mary to use the radio telescope. Why didn't they just use that at first if this is really good? Why leave the best thing to last?
Yeah. Well, Einstein's, doesn't know what he's doing, does he?
I know. It's kind of like if you have a tub of heroes, right? And then you're looking through the thing and you wouldn't eat the fudge ones first. You go for the great ones first. You leave the crappy ones to last, right?
You would.
Yeah.
It did kind of throw me off when you said a tub of heroes. I was thinking of what? A tub of this Japanese character that's in...
Yeah, so they're all tub of heroes. All screaming exact three at you. Like, put the lid back on. Put the lid back on. It's too loud.
I told you to get Quality Street.
Yeah. The statue in the Rose Garden starts to revolve. And Mary passes on coordinates to Kate. Kate says she's on the scent.
I'm not touching that one.
Okay. And tells Hawkeye it's over to him. Hawkeye issues directional instructions and then opens fire. But there's still no visual contact. Einstein tells him to keep firing. Did you get anything? He asks Hawkeye. But he reports he fired at nothing. And guess what he hit? Nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got to say, I do like this Hawkeye a lot better than Jeremy Renner.
Oh,
he's a better actor for a start. Yeah. Got more stage presence.
Yeah, right. Einstein tells them to stay in that area. Murray reports that the energy source has entered the Earth's atmosphere. Einstein asks, what is the projected landing site? A totally different Zeroid that is in the cabin with them responds, 100 miles due north of Bangkok. May I suggest? Einstein interrupts him. No, you may not. Reasoning is not within your sphere.
Dick.
Yeah, so that was Sergeant Major. It's the first time we see him, and he's been in the cabin all this time, apparently. So they decide to go to Bangkok. Mary orders the Zeroid, now calling it Sergeant Major, to load 100 of his men aboard. Yes, Captain, he pauses. You don't really think of us as men, do you? Oh, for peace,
It's Windsor Davis basically doing his character from It Ain't a Half Hot Mum.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's an interesting...
He even has his catchphrase in a minute, doesn't he?
He does. It's an interesting choice. It works.
At least he's lively.
Yeah.
It does work, yeah. In fact, he and the woman doing the voice of Zelda seem to be the only ones who seem to be enjoying themselves.
That's true. So Zero bounces off the pedestal and down a tube. Below is a group of 100 Zeroids. Attention! Is called. Zero rolls into position on a balcony above them and opens his eyes. Right, men, let's be having you. This is it. The Zeroids load themselves into tubes. Zero goes back to his pedestal in the cabin and reports to Mary that all equipment and men are aboard. Mary thanks him and prepares for liftoff. The Battle Hawk takes off. Outside, we see the White House, which appears to be totally fake, right?
But yeah, they're in rooms later.
Yeah, yeah. That was going to be my point. You're right.
Okay.
It's very strange, but it looks totally fake here. It opens up and the Battle Hawk launches out of it. A la Thunderbirds.
Exactly. And can you imagine if you're having your dinner when one of these rooms started tilting forwards like this? You'd be covered in beans, wouldn't you?
I assume somebody bangs a gong or something and tells you. grab your scones.
Shit.
Battle Hawk's launching. You're like running. Oh my God. Not again. I never get through a meal.
Can you imagine if you're in one of the toilets? Imagine if it was you.
Yeah. So Ninestein instructs Katie to bring the Hawkwing to the battle zone as they'll need her cover. She says they're on their way. Now, clearly, Katie, as much as I like her, has forgotten to use the code. She should have said 1010, not I'm on my way.
Lack of consistency in this.
Yeah, not happy. Ninestein tells Hero to move into a geostationary orbit so he has eyes on the battle zone. 1010, says Hero. Oh, nice to see he's on message.
Oh, well, he's professional.
Wonder where he's going to go with that then for a second, but all right.
Yeah, it could have gone either way, trust me. Space. I was doing a lot of self-editing there.
Yeah, it was like watching the Fred Astaire of dialogue tap dance around the room. Space Doc moves into position. 101 says, looks like this is it, sir. Exactly. And I'm only saying it because that's the way the character says it, okay?
Yeah, they're really doubling down on all this, aren't they?
Yeah, but then they go worse here because now 101 calls him on it and says, you mean exactly. Exactly, replies Hero. And then 101 kind of pulls a face. You're really pushing it.
He's Japanese! For fuck's sake.
Yeah. So we cut to the Battle Hawk. Mary is speaking. It's our first encounter with the new Martians, Tiger. That's the first time his nickname. Well, it's just a weird nickname to throw in there. It's like she's like Tiger, and he's like, yes, lovey dovey.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing to throw in there. I assume, and I read this, and I assume it's right that he's called nicknamed Tiger. Oh wait, I'm giving something away that doesn't. We'll come back to this.
All right, okay. Oh, I'm intrigued now.
Yeah, she says, what do you expect? I expect the unexpected. And we fade to black. Yay, got his catchphrase out. Do you think she only asked just to get it out of the way? She's like, God, he's going to use that stupid catchphrase at some point. I should just lead him into it now, and then we're done with it. Oh, but little does she know.
Yeah, but we're not done with it, are we?
No. Not at all. So we cut to the Battle Hawk flying through the air. There's a cry of Geronimo, brace yourself, lads! And the Zeroids launch from the craft, flying through the air and bouncing with various groans and sounds onto the ground.
I'm pretty sure one of them goes, whoa! And lands.
They're like, oh, ah! Oof. Yeah. The Zeroids are the best thing in this show. They should have just called the show Zeroids and just made it about them.
Yeah. Yeah. We get Q-Boys later, though, don't we?
We do, yeah. As we pan across flowers and plants, the caption, Thailand, appears on the screen. Zeroid 13 rolls into view, opens his eyes and declares, everything's clear, but we'll roll around and check the area. I'm not quite sure what accent he was going for, though.
I'm guessing it was supposed to be some sort of like Cockney geezer accent, wasn't it?
Oh, okay. All right. I'll leave that one to you. You're the Cockney geezer guy.
Yeah, right.
Zero starts to say that one of his men, but is cut off by Ninestein saying, yeah, we got it. Oh, Ninestein. Such a dick.
I know. He just cuts him off, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Rude. He asks Mary how we're doing. She says, we're doing fine. And he notices like she's really sarcastic about the we part of it. Because he uses that a lot.
Yeah, she. I think she thinks he's a dick as well.
I think so, yeah. I think everybody does.
Odd choice to make that your main character, isn't it? To make your main character
unpleasant.
A dick like
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. She says fine, and that if the men that were dropped give them the all clear, they'll be landing about 10 miles from the energy source. 13 reports that the area is clear, and Zero tells them that the reconnaissance says it's okay to land. Ninestein tells Murray to land the Battle Hawk. They touch down in a clearing. Nienstein orders Zero to take his squad to the edge of the energy source and to use reasonable caution. Expect the unexpected.
Zero just sighs, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Just like you did.
Yeah. Even Zero's sick of this shit already.
Yeah. It's only the first episode.
I know.
Zero orders 13, 27, and 35 to be ready for reconnaissance patrol. Unlucky numbers. Well, I better get ready to roll. Good luck, Sergeant Major, says Mary. Thank you, ma'am. He launches off the pedestal and heads down the tube. Nienstein says that if his theory about the energy source is correct, he wouldn't send his worst enemy out there. But he's not in the least bit bothered about sending Zero out there.
I think that's the implication of what they're trying to say, isn't it? That he thinks even less of these things than he does of his worst enemy.
Beginning to really dislike this guy, Paul.
Yep.
Outside, Zero lands and addresses his patrol and they roll off. Mary says she's going to move to Hill 28 for the best vantage point. Wouldn't it you know, in the sky? Because you can fly, right? So, all right, but never mind. Forget that. A smaller craft, which is known as the Terror Hawk, launches from the Battle Hawk.
Yes, it's like a little bird thing that sits on the back of it, isn't it?
A lot of hawks and bird things going on here.
Well, you know, it's in the title of the show. You've got to use it, haven't you?
I guess so. This contains the command module and they land on the hill. Meanwhile, Zero says he can hear the energy source. This way, men! And they roll and bounce across the rocks. Nienstein is mumbling to himself about the powerful energy source and yet not being able to see anything. He calls on Zero and asks him how we are doing. See, that we again.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you say we're editing a podcast.
I've never said that. I've never said that, have I?
No. Zero says they've located the energy source and it's under the bough of a tree. He can sense it's there, but he can't see it. Nienstein orders him, of course, to fire an energy bolt at the source.
Just shoot at it.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Wait, Zero fires.
I'm going to say, it's probably the way I'd roll, though, really.
You're like Nienstein, then.
Yes, yeah. What? No, I didn't say that. What I'm saying is that I'd probably shoot at it as well, but I'll be without the casual racism and sexism and homophobia that he's got.
Oh, that's funny. That's the three things I would have associated with you.
You're painting a very disturbing picture of me. I'm not like that at all.
No, I know.
Thank you. Clarify it for the listeners. Careers have ended because of this stuff, you know.
That's true.
I mean, I haven't got one, but
yeah. You'd have to get one and then do something and then lose it. We can
and
wait.
Then end it.
Yeah.
I'm not getting any younger, you know.
That's true. You're not. Meanwhile,
All right.
Zero fires, blowing up the tree. He reports the energy source is still there, but has moved to one side. Nienstein asks him to use his macro vision to pinpoint it. Again, just use this at the beginning. Don't. Why is it the stuff that always works is the last thing you're thinking of, mate? You're supposed to be smart. Just when an alien ship comes along, just use everything. Don't pick and choose. Zero now says he can see a spaceship under a gigantic spider, an alien spaceship.
This spider's the most realistic thing I've seen so far in this show, to be honest.
Really? Is it a real spider?
Yeah, it looks great.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you're happy about something.
No, it's not a real spider. I was being sarcastic.
Oh, okay.
Looks shit.
Fair enough.
It's wobbling up and down. It's
spiders wobble, but they don't fall down. No,
that's weevils.
Oh, okay. I'm always getting weevils and my spiders mixed up. It made for very interesting games when I was a kid.
Well, getting the weeble and putting it under the glass.
Yeah, or getting the spider and trying to knock it over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Spider's going, fuck off.
I'm out of here.
You should have just been playing with your action figures.
Oh, let's not go there. That.
You know, oddly, don't you think that these puppets look a bit like Action Men?
Do they like Action Men? Not really, because Action Men, no. Yeah. Different shape. Different size heads.
Maybe it's just me. I mean, all I could think of when I was watching this show was, I wonder what they look like with the clothes on. Oh,
Yeah, I'm sure you were with Zelda. You know, Zelda.
Nine's been swapping his clothes with Zelda, and Zelda's swapping her clothes with
but not the pants.
Kate. And, but not the pants and the shoes, you know, obviously.
Oh, yeah. We've exhausted that. let's not live on past glories.
Since when?
Yeah, all right.
You know, how many times have we done that difficult second album joke?
We haven't done it for a couple of episodes. It's time for a re.
We haven't. That is true.
It's time to reform the band.
I think so.
Just what I expected, says Ninestein. It's an alien spaceship, all right, but the spider isn't gigantic. The spaceship's minute. That's why it didn't have a radar echo. But Murray reports they're getting one now. And there's a flash, and the alien ship gets slightly bigger. Zero closes his eyes, mutters, stroll on, and rolls away. And you get it? Stroll on, it's stow, and then roll. Yeah?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
All right. Didn't get it, folks.
Thanks.
Yeah. The ship is now I guessed. The ship is now in the sky. There's another flash and it's bigger. A fervor crash of light and it's now a massive vessel hanging in the sky. Stroll on, yells Zero. And the Zero Patrol makes a hasty retreat. Zero orders 50 more men to be sent to his location. Murray yells, no, orders them to return to Battlehawk, but a tube has opened up and the Zeros are already deploying. He can't hear us, she says, in Einstein's accent for some reason. Sorry.
Yeah, the characters mixed up there.
Yeah, just a bit. He can't hear us, she says. Mm. He doesn't want to hear us, replies Einstein. Zero orders his men to take up defensive positions. Suddenly, Zelda's voice booms over the landscape. I believe 13 is an unlucky number for people here on Earth. She fires and 13 explodes. And we see 13 destroyed. And Zero orders the rest to open fire. But it has no effect. You're wasting your time. You cannot hit me, says Zelda, but I can hit you. She starts to destroy the Zeroids. Einstein contacts Hawkwing and tells Kate that the alien ship has a force field around it and that they need their help. Kate tells him to get the Zeroids out of there because there's going to be a mighty bang. Pauses to allow Paul for some kind of innuendo and then moves on swiftly.
No. Nothing there.
Hawkeye locks on target.
So I'm cleaning up my act. I'm not doing that stuff anymore.
No?
Decided.
It's another 1,000 listeners lost.
Are you saying that they come for my filth? Actually, no, that came out wrong.
Yeah, it did. They don't, but it's filth is what they get.
Oh, yes, they get it. What?
Yeah. The ship changes slightly as Hawkeye's capsule is removed from the wing and brought into the main fuselage. Murray orders Zero to remove his men from the battle zone, but Zero says that if Hawkwing is coming in, then they must disrupt the aliens' fire. They open fire, and the alien vessel returns with more hits against the Zeroids. Hawkwing closes in. Don't leave it too late, Einstein warns her, but she replied, it's never too late. The wing separates from the main craft and flies into the alien vessel. There's a huge explosion. Fantastic, says Einstein. But the energy source is still there, even though Katie blew the alien ship apart. Einstein realizes that if the alien can change the size, then they have control over matter.
Matter?
Doesn't. Murray notices that the Murray notices that the energy source is now building fast. There's a flash above the Battlehawk's smaller craft, and a massive alien vessel appears over them. Keep calm, baby, says Einstein creepily.
Somebody needs a trip down to human resources, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Then with a flash, he vanishes. A green light appears over Murray, and she seems transfixed. But you know, it's hard to tell with a puppet.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand what was going on in this bit.
I was like, oh.
I thought, has she got some sort of weird power that she's using?
Yeah, it's a force over. It's like, basically, it's Captain Scarlet with the Mysterons.
Right.
The alien ship flies higher. We cut to a close-up of Zelda's face. We're in a spacecraft and Einstein is sitting in a chair. "Very stupid, Doctor," she says. "You should have known better than to attack us." Nienstein denies this. "Silence!" she says. "How dare you speak to me like this, you admirable human being!" Nienstein is startled. "Aren't you?" Now, why is he startled that she's not a human?
Well, as far as he's... I mean, he doesn't know that she's going to be an android, but surely he knows that she's from Mars, because she's told him.
Or that she's not from Earth, because she has a frigging spaceship.
And can do things that Earth people can't do, manipulate matter. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a weird...
He's not that bright, though, is he?
No, yeah,
He's an idiot.
There's one more thing like Paul, just checking it off. Not that bright.
No, I take back what I said, actually, about him reminding me of Commander Koenig from Space 1999, because he was never this stupid, was he?
No, he's not.
And he wasn't rude to his staff, either.
That's true. "No," replies Zelda, "my people were once the slaves of humans on my planet. We were once their robots, but soon our intellect was greater than our creators. So we destroyed them." So, I'm confused about this. They were created by humans on the planet. Mm-hmm. How did humans get on that planet?
Yes.
I mean, are we talking humans people?
Humanoids.
Right, not Earthlings.
No.
So you're Android.
Unless something happens in a later episode.
Maybe. Oh, yeah, that's true. We don't know. Could be. We haven't watched that far.
I'll never know.
Oh, giving too much away, Paul.
Yes, I know. Sorry.
"So you're androids," responds Nienstein, and Zelda reveals that they are indeed androids made in the mold of their creators. "Based on the oldest and wisest," says Nienstein. "That's why we're so beautiful," replies Zelda.
Can't argue with that.
Nope. Cut to the Terrahawk. Mary is still transfixed by the light. Katie tries to reach her. Katie tries to reach her on the communications control. Zero tries to reach her too and starts to leak steam when he realizes it's all beyond his comprehension. Back in Zelda's ship, she tells Nienstein that on the way back to Mars, they have to pass by Nienstein's gunship. Nienstein says Spacehawk will blow them out of the sky, and he believes Zelda's ship doesn't have enough power to reduce its size and maintain its force field. Helpfully, Zelda says that's correct. Why does she do that?
There's nothing like playing your cards too close to your chest, is there?
Really? I know, right? It's like, "Oh, I believe you don't have the power left to defeat us." Yeah, you're right. Oh, okay. That'd be a really bad James Bond film, wouldn't it? It's like, I can defeat you by pulling out this control panel. Yeah, you can. Oh, you've done it. Oh, well.
That is kind of what happens in most James Bond films, though.
It is, but they don't reveal it.
No.
They don't go, "Oh, God, Jimmy, you got us there. Could you put it back?"
Yeah.
Put it back, yeah. Jimmy. Go on. There's a lad.
To be honest with you, looking at this now, there's not very many bright people in this show, is there?
No, there's not. No.
Apart from maybe Zero.
Well, maybe that's the point, that the mechanical ones are the actual intellect,
yes,
of the planet.
Yes, could be.
Yeah,
that's good. We'll go with that.
Yeah, okay. Zelda believes that they won't fire on her with Nienstein aboard. Nienstein points out that they don't know he's aboard, but Zelda says that they will be, because he's going to tell them. "Just speak out, and they will hear." "Hero, can you hear me?" says Nienstein. Hero can, and asks where Nienstein is. He says he's aboard the Martian ship. It has insufficient power to maintain its force field. "So open fire, Hero, that's an order." Zelda laughs. She doesn't believe Hero will fire, not with him aboard. And she's going to take him to Mars and then take him apart to see what makes him tick. That's going to be a shot. Let's just pull his arms off and they're like, "Oh, blood, bones and shit." Oh, well. What do we do next?
Yeah, surely though, if they were built by what they called humans,
who they
at some
defeated.
Point they'll have inter yeah, Zelda and her crew were built by humans.
Yep,
they would obviously at some point have interacted with humans, and then they overthrowed them
and killed them.
So didn't they take those apart?
Yeah,
if they were that curious.
Yeah. Maybe she's like means on a meta level rather than an actual physical level, maybe Maybe it's figurative, for example. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Nine says, "You slipped up, Android. I'm only one of nine clones. Kill me, and there'll be another Ninestein within 24 hours." So this is the thing. There's nine of him. There's eight other clones, right? Okay.
But this is the first time they reveal it in the show, isn't it? But they reveal it in a way like everyone's already supposed to know this, don't they?
Yeah, it's like a helicopter appearing from nowhere in the third act, right, Paul?
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, nobody does. Inside joke.
In my defense, I've seen that. I've seen that a million times in stuff since I wrote that.
Okay, so. All right. So Zelda pulls a... Oh, shit face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How can you tell?
Oh, I can tell Zelda's faces.
Okay.
I'm used to looking at an old crone.
What does a cum face look like, do you think? And for our listeners who... Colin just demonstrated it, and it was disturbing. So there we go.
Yeah, well, that's right. It'd be disturbing, right? Yeah.
It would, and I don't want to see it again. Nope. So thank you very much.
All right, you won't, unless you're lucky. Hero asks 101 what he would do. 101 says it's not for them to make decisions, but Hero pushes it. But 101 still refuses, saying that the Doctor would not like them to start making the decisions. Hero knows he's right. Then he must make the choice. 101, open fire. The Zeroids open fire. Mm-hmm. What have I done, he says. They've opened fire, says Zelda. Yes, replies Ninestein. This has got to be the end. We focus on Ninestein's face as the screen whites out and credits appear. To be continued, it's flashed across the screen. Then it's replaced by a game of noughts and crosses played by Zeroids and blocks. Although we're actually never introduced to the enemy cuboids in this episode. The game unfolds as the credits continue, and apparently there's a different winner in each episode.
Yes, and I think I remember at the time when I watched it as a kid, this was always the highlight of the episode for me.
Oh, simple life, Paul.
Trying to find out who won.
Yeah.
I know.
This one, the Zeroids win by cheating. And that's it for part one.
Terrahawks, stay on this channel. This is an emergency.
So episode two pretty much starts off where we last left it. Hero opens fire and Zelda's ship seems to explode. In the cockpit of their ship, Murray sees a flash and Ninestein, a flash outside.
Quick glimpse.
Yeah. And Ninestein suddenly reappears exactly in his seat where she left him.
Do you think the puppets have genitalia?
Probably Hero's hung like a donkey, isn't he?
Why?
Everyone treats him like shit. So they're all jealous of him.
Oh, that's...
You know, this is a problem that I've had my entire life, you know. So, but, you deal with it.
Okay. Dream.
Then people
dream,
are jealous,
dream,
aren't they?
Dream, you know, dream, dream when I have you. Absolutely.
I bet Zelda's got a...
Penis?
Got a right growler down there.
Oh. Well, she's an android, so they probably didn't.
Androids can have genitalia.
Why would you? Why?
Data's fully functional. He's got one. He's got it going on down there.
Yeah, that's true.
Tasha, yeah, had a right smile on her face when she'd finished with him. She was happy as Larry.
Well, who's Larry? Where's he come into this?
He was the third one in there.
Oh, see. Wow.
Which you'd think he would call it Dick, wouldn't you? But no, he calls it Larry. So Hero is confused, wondering how Ninestein got back to Earth. And Ninestein tells him about a theory that he had. Now, this theory, it's amazing in its...
bullshit.
Simplicity, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Simplicity. Okay, so yeah. So when the power... Was it the power to hold him was destroyed? He was returned. But...
Yeah, he basically says that he thought that destroying the alien ship would destroy their power to hold him and send him back.
But there is no power to hold him. The power was to just move him from one location to another.
Exactly. He sounds like a man making shit up on the spot so that he looks good. No, because I'm not a racist.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
unlike the characters in this show.
Right.
Yeah, but he does sound like a man making shit up, doesn't he?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
At this point, Nienstein.
Yeah.
Nienstein orders Zero and his men back on board. But first, they hold an impromptu funeral for number 13, don't they, who died?
Yeah, so it's kind of showing that... Well, even like one of the Zeroids doesn't understand why they're doing it, because they're going number 13 will just be replaced. And then Sergeant Major, mm-hmm. Major says, you know your problem? You got no heart. So it's like Sergeant Major has progressed above the other Zeroids. Maybe because he's been around longer, I don't know. He's more human.
Possibly, and he maybe sees humans a lot more.
Yeah, maybe it's influenced him.
He seems to spend a lot of time in the company of Nienstein, so he's not the last. He's the last person you want to rub off on, isn't he?
That's true. Really? Yeah, you don't want his people skills.
No, really? Not at all, no. They rival yours, Colin.
Nothing wrong with my people skills, you c***.
So they set off home. Mm-hmm. And Nienstein can't wait to get back to his computer game, only to be irritated by Zero coming in and disturbing him again.
Oh, gosh, that's Zero coming back from a life-threatening mission and having the indecency to be alive.
But it was Nienstein that asked to see him in the first place.
That's true.
So Nienstein launches into a bit of a speech at Zero here, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
He says, "You are a machine. You are nothing. You are zero. You are absolute zero. Zilch. Get it? When I say jump, you jump." Sounds like a certain podcast host that I've worked with quite a lot.
You've been doing other podcasts? How dare you? Who'd employ you?
Seriously, Nienstein, he is an utter dick.
Yeah, I don't get why they made him so nasty. I don't understand why. Well, I know the...
He's getting nastier and nastier as it goes along.
Yeah, and I know the idea behind it, but it doesn't work. Because you push a character so that he has problems and issues that you're not keen on, but there has to be something else you like about that character.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know the character's going to get redemption at the end, but if you push the character so far... It doesn't matter how much redemption you get at the end, it's not going to be enough to compensate for how bad he's been during the episode. And this is what happens here.
Exactly. So, I mean, they try and give him a little bit of redemption at the end of the episode, but it's not enough, is it?
No, because they went overboard with...
Yeah, and I get the impression that probably in the next episode after this, he's probably back to square one again.
Yeah. Yeah, which could be an issue with episodic TV. I don't know. But, you know.
So Murray and Kate, however, have been listening at the door. And they don't agree. "I happen to think Zero behaved like a real man today," says Murray.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So who knows what Sergeant Major gets up to in his private time?
Well, he's got the balls, hasn't he?
That's all he's got. Well, he has a little antenna that pops out of his head that probably was familiar to you, Paul.
I don't know what you mean.
No, sure you don't.
And I've not only got one ball either, before you do that one.
I wasn't going to. You're not Hitler. Okay.
Yeah,
working on your paintings.
Very good. That's a historic joke there.
Yeah, no, right.
Who says we're lowbrow?
Well, probably all the knob gags probably helps that opinion somewhat.
So we cut to a party in the White House.
Oh, okay.
First, Katie's ripping up the keyboards and
I just got to interrupt you here because they walk in on Nienstein and they talk about how they don't agree with him, et cetera, et cetera. And then they say there's a party and instantly... Nienstein has forgotten all about Zero and how he's treated him badly. And he's just like, a party? Oh. It's like all he cares about is the beer and the party. He's sounding more and more like somebody I know. I don't know.
I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, it's weird. And let's be honest, this party is the worst ever party. And I've been to some shit parties in my time, but this is really appalling. First of all, the only people in this party are the people in this Terrorhawks crew.
Well, they live in the middle of nowhere, don't they? Who are they going to invite?
So they're no friends. It's just them. So would you... I'd be like, I'm sorry. I'm busy that night. I'm busy. I'm sorry. I wouldn't want to go. It's like, yes. Why would you want to spend the evening with these people? You work with them. Nienstein's a dick.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, nah. Mm-hmm. I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend it with that Zero D Sweet. He's fun. He's got a cute moustache. I'm going to spend it with him.
You spend it with 101?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would. Yeah, 101. At least he guaranteed, you know, a fun evening. Party games.
I bet he's got rhythm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you said at this party he's not much, but, I mean, you got Katie. She's on the keyboards, and everyone's dressed in tuxedos.
Well, you say dressed in tuxedos, but Nystein looks like he went to a party before, got sloshed, and then got dressed for this party in somebody else's suit.
Wait, so what you're saying is that he took someone else's clothes, swapped them.
No.
Right?
Yes.
Put them on.
Yes.
See, I was right.
Yeah.
I knew. See? I could have wrote this.
Oh yeah, you really could have.
You mocked me. You mocked me.
But did you notice how badly his clothes were on him?
Yes, I did.
It's like, did you not dress yourself? What's going on?
You don't look like they fit him.
No, it's weird.
So he says, CIG, champagne is go. He loves it, doesn't he?
But you know why they said that? Because Captain Scarlet, the call signal in that is SIG. Spectrum is green.
Oh, I see. Right, okay. But Zero burps and says, actually, sir, champagne is gone. So Zero's...
Nice.
Zero's can get drunk.
Yeah, they can. And they're clearly alcoholic because they just, the moment they see alcohol, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm having some of that. Now, throughout this episode so far, I thought you were like Nystein. Now I'm kind of moving towards the fact you may be a Zero. A Zeroid. You got the head for it, Paul.
Oh, go on, make a joke about me being round as well. You might as well.
I just did it. You got the head for it. It's a portly pedestal you're on.
It's shrinking. I keep telling you this every week.
That's the cold weather.
It is cold.
Yeah.
So Hera calls down to say that Zelda is back. So nobody invited Hera to this party. They just left him up there.
I didn't really think of that, but yeah, everyone just ignored him. No one even told him. He's like calling down. He's going, what's the music? And they're all like, oh shit, stop playing the keyboard. There's no music, Hero. It's just background interference from the ionosphere. It's bouncing off. What's, yeah, have you been drinking? No, nobody's drinking. No. What's going on, Hero? Yeah, they're all like that, covering up.
I told you, they treat him terribly.
They do, you're right. They send him up there.
Jealous.
Yep.
So Zelda calls down to Nystein, explaining that all that happened was that she returned to Mars. She wasn't destroyed.
No, because the effect that occurred to Nystein also happened to Zelda. That makes sense.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, like the rest of this.
Yep.
But fear not, Earthlings! You see, I can do it as well.
Oh, wait. What? Somebody in the room. Who was that? What character is this? Who's got a new character in
Zelda,
the show?
Zelda.
This is Zelda.
Yeah.
Oh, she obviously the explosion affected her. Because she doesn't.
I don't know what you mean. What are you getting?
Say. It's weird now. All right.
In my episode, she's been recast.
Great.
Go with it.
All right.
This time, she says, we come in peace. Battle station, says Nystein.
It just sounds like you. I'm sure I've heard you do this voice before. Oh, in the bathroom. I don't know. All right.
What are you doing in my bathroom?
Listening to you doing Zelda, apparently.
Actually, you stayed here for a week. I don't want to know what you're doing in my bathroom. I'd rather not think about it.
I left DNA.
Oh, I need to get that that black light in there, don't I? And have a look. Actually, no.
No, don't do that. No, that's a bad idea.
So Nystein tells Hero that if she gets any closer, he should let her have it.
Oh, yeah. Don't calm down, Paul.
Yeah. Hero informs Nystein that Zelda has come to a halt just outside of weapons range. And Nystein wastes no chance to tell him to expect the unexpected again.
Yeah, everyone hates that. It's like that boss who thinks he's funny, and you're like, oh my God, he's going to do that line again.
Does he say this in every episode then?
Oh, I'm sure. I can't remember.
I mean, every episode.
Let's say he does. I'm pretty sure he probably does. Let's hope he only says it once in other episodes, because if he says it 3 or 4 times in every episode, that's got to be grating.
I mean, think of the actor. You'd think, oh, can we not just, like, loop it? Just use the one I said, like, 10 episodes ago.
You probably did, right?
Why do I have to say it again?
You just said it once, and then that was it. Yeah.
With various inflections.
Yeah, expect the unexpected. Yeah. Expect the unexpected. I expect the unexpected.
Let's not use
expect
that last one.
Unexpected.
He's having a stroke. So Zelda says that she brings a gift.
Ooh, I like gifts. Oh.
And requests.
Request.
She requests safe conduct to the Earth base. Bahira says that the base is kept concealed.
That's right.
Zelda accuses Hero basically of being racist against Martians, and that she only defended herself after the Zeroids opened fire first.
Ah. Well, first of all, if anyone is not going to be racist, this is pretty much Hero, because he normally gets the racism applied to him. So Zelda's been a bit rich saying that. But who's going to believe Zelda? Mm-hmm. What kind of idiot, absolute moron, would believe Zelda? I mean, nobody, right? Nobody. Ridiculous.
I see where you're going with this. I can see where you're going.
I mean,
even Zero is adamant that this isn't true. He says, I have never, never, never disobeyed an order.
That's right. Yeah, and you would trust your men, right? Because that's all you've got.
So Katie and Hawkeye launching the Hawkwing. I keep wanting to say Hawkwind, but that's a band, isn't it?
That is, yeah. Maybe he's musical that day.
Maybe he was. And we get to see the Whirlpool lift off again.
Yeah.
Not the Whirlpool lift off, Whirlpool lift off.
So as they're launching off, then they're talking about how 19 doesn't believe Zero. And then Hawkeye says, some of my best friends are androids. Yeah, Hawkeye, sex dolls don't count.
Sex dolls kind of look like these puppets. So 19 orders Hawkwind to... Hawkwind, I didn't get it. Nystein orders Hawkwing to circle the landing area and to keep their eyes open.
Yep.
Murray points out that, don't you think that Zelda is deceiving you? Well, he says, someone is deceiving me, and gives a glaring look at Zero in the corner.
Why would it be Zero? I don't get it.
I don't know. I just don't get it at all.
Like, even if he doesn't like emotions in robots, it's still not going to be Zero who's the bad guy at this point.
I mean, basically, he's taking Zelda's word over his own men, isn't he?
Yep. Yeah.
Don't get it. No. So Battle Hawk launches again, and Katie asks Hawkeye, what goodies does he think Zelda has for us? I don't know, he answers, but I certainly know what I've got for her if she tries anything. Steady on, old boy.
Yeah, that's a phrase you've used in your time, right? Chat up line for you.
I tell you to stop spying on me, Colin.
I've been in pubs when you've used it, Paul.
Happily married.
Oh, this was before then.
I'm glad you pointed that out. Get me in trouble.
No, you were still married, just not happily.
So Murray also wonders what Zelda has in store for them. And Nystein is about to launch into his unexpected catchphrase one more time again.
Yeah.
When Zero says it for him with an exasperated sigh. I know how he feels.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's amazing that you can get sick of a catchphrase in the pilot episode.
Yeah, in something that, I mean, these episodes are what, 24 minutes?
Yeah, we're already tired of it. I don't remember, we recently did the A-Team, and obviously that has catchphrases, like, I love it when a plan comes together. I don't remember getting tired of that.
Completely different.
Yeah.
So back on Zelda's ship, she's talking to a lot of cuboids, which are sort of cube versions of Zero. Zero things, aren't they?
But they don't have voices or personalities.
They gibber a bit later, though, don't they?
They do that. Yeah, we all gibber later.
Exactly. It's coming to me sooner than I thought it would, tell you.
I know.
So Battlehawk lands and lowers a tank onto the ground. I mean, I say lower, it's more of a crashing dump.
Oh, done a few of those.
It does. It just falls out, doesn't it?
It's got two giant Zeroids in it that are called Megazoids.
Megazoids.
Yeah, yeah. I've dropped a few Megazoids in my time.
I believe you. I think you left a few here.
Yeah.
It took ages to go down.
You're not supposed to swallow them.
Oh, that makes me sick.
Well, swallowing them.
Yeah, I know. To be honest with you, though, I couldn't swallow. I'd have to drink it with you, wouldn't I?
Yeah, usually you spit it out. I've heard that about you.
So the tank parks on a nearby ridge to stand guard over the Battle Hawk. Mm-hmm. Hawkwing goes to a 1040, whatever that is.
Oh, wait. They don't just go for a 1040. Oh. They go for a full 1040.
Full 1040? They're going all in.
I know, and I remember the last time I went on a full 1040. Don't I ever. Yeah, let's not talk about it.
Balls deep?
No, it's just the way I'm sat. What do you mean?
So Zelda lands. Nystein says to Zelda that he's prepared to give her the benefit of the doubt. Now, at first I thought, is he being a bit cagey? Has he got a plan?
Yeah, he's playing the game. He's
playing
like
the game.
Smart to the case? No.
Yeah. No.
Friggin' moron.
Zelda's ship starts to glow and Nystein orders Hawkwing to attack all of a sudden.
Of course he does, because that's what he does. It's his only solution to everything.
But he's just gone from believing every word she says to it glowing and suddenly gone, blow it up!
Yeah. Ah. You know what this is?
Go on.
Bollocks.
Bollocks. I think you're right.
Yeah.
So there's a flash and Zelda's ship relocates to a highway road.
Right. This gets confusing here for me.
Yeah. Because where are we? Are we still in South America? I guess we are.
Yeah, but you know that she created the road.
She created the road, did she?
Yeah, that's the miracle they keep talking about.
Why did she create a road?
Because that's the miracle that she says, we'll give you this gift.
Oh, and I can make roads.
Exactly. Yeah, apparently.
But last time I checked, we can make roads.
Yeah, but not in a flash. Usually it takes, you know, a year, and then they put up road signs and then loads of cones, and then you don't see an employee actually working on these roads, just cones forever. You know, cones are like Zeroids. There's just hundreds of them sitting there going to each other, and then it goes on for 12 months. Then a year later, the cones get removed, and then the road looks similar to what it did before, but slightly bumpy and uncontrollable, and she can do it in a flash. That's the miracle, Paul.
Okay, right on.
But it took me a second to figure that out.
I didn't figure it out at all.
Okay.
So I'm glad you told me.
All right.
Okay. Nice in order.
Well, hold on. What did you think the miracle was that they were talking about? Or did you just ignore the dialogue entirely?
I didn't get it. I didn't think we got that far, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
I didn't think she ever followed through.
Oh, all right.
So Nystein orders Hawkeye to pull out.
Is that what we're reduced to, Paul?
It made me laugh. So Zelda says, just imagine what other benefits she could bring.
Yeah. Motorways, lay-bys, service stations.
Yeah.
Slip roads. Like slip roads. Yeah. I know, right?
Hey, do you think she could provide the kebab van that's always on those?
Nope. She just does roads. Oh, types of roads. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, sorry.
Less interesting for me.
I know. That you love a kebab.
Oh, yes, I do. Come on, you like a kebab. I know you do.
When's the last time you had a kebab?
About 6 weeks ago.
Oh, I was going to say, like, at least be like, 5 years ago, you know, but no, okay, all right.
I remember the kebab you used to buy. You put everything on it. It looked like a car wreck.
Yeah, because we were staggering home from a nightclub or whatever.
Yeah, but still, you would put every sauce in the world on it.
That's what you ordered, kebab, everything on it. Boom.
I like it dry.
Oh, you're a weirdo.
I like my meat like I like my women, dry. So, Nystein tells Zelda, sorry for the misunderstanding at this point now.
Oh, he's apologising to the villain. He's blowing things up. Who's also killed 13 and other Zeroids.
Exactly, yeah. He's just literally making it up as he goes along here, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's rolling with whatever comes at him. We'd not a clue as to what the end game is at all.
And it should be the Zero is doing the rolling, not him.
It should be, yeah. So he tells her that she's clear to leave. At the same time, he also calls up to Hero. Did you get that? He asks. But he says it in a way that, again, made me think that there was some underlying plan going on here. But there isn't.
No. He's just pretending now.
He's just, yeah. So Zelda takes off. The Road to Mandalay, muses 19. It's an old song. Sung by grandfather? Asks Murray. I didn't have a grandfather. I had a test tube. It was the 80s, mind you, so that test tube was probably molesting him, right? I mean, it was probably, wasn't it?
All right.
So Murray asks 19, why don't we take my old roller and go take a look at the highway? Zero gets excitable until 19 says, not you, my Rolls Royce. Oh, he's posh, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And it's starting to feel like an advert for Rolls Royce, but okay.
Yeah. Wasn't it a Rolls Royce in Thunderbirds that Miss Penelope was?
Yes.
So the front of the Battle Hawk opens up and out rolls his Rolls, which he refers to as a he, not a she. Well, he makes a big deal about not being a she.
He does. So let's add misogyny to his list of issues.
Yes.
And also, it talks, this Rolls-Royce has a personality, and mm-hmm. Mary says, oh, like Zero. And he says, no, not like Zero. Mm-hmm. This has breeding.
Mm.
So classicism as well to his list of issues.
Yep. Racist, elitist. He's just
misogynist.
Terrible. Terrible,
absolutely,
isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a terrible puppet.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, he's no Chucky, but yeah.
Well, yeah, not yet. We don't know what happens in season 3. So,
that's true, yeah.
So the curse
that'd be great if that's what happens.
Because of a killing spree.
Yeah, just because of a homicidal maniac.
Breaks the fourth wall and starts killing the puppeteers. That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah.
So the cursed computer is called Hudson.
Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be?
Hmm. So they climb in and they set off with Hudson driving. The electronics are by Hero, asks Murray. Exactory. Nice, Dean. So we're still doing that, eh?
Yeah, we're still doing the gags.
The casual racism, yeah.
Yep, we're doing it.
Still going good and strong in episode 2. Yeah.
Yep, and it's also still continues like a Rolls-Royce advert.
It does, yeah. Mm. Do you think they put some money into this?
They get credits on it. They must have done something.
Mm-hmm. So they come to a stop as Zelda's cuboids are blocking the highway. What are those? Asks Murray.
Blocking.
I don't know.
Blocking. Nice. Blocking. Nice.
Oh, very
is that
good.
A pun? Yeah.
Yes.
You didn't.
Yes,
you didn't,
it was.
You didn't see that, did you? No, you didn't.
No,
see
it was.
That. No,
it was.
No, you didn't. No.
Fight
see it from your face. No, you didn't.
What are those? Asks Murray. I don't know, but they look extremely dicey to me. Answers 19.
Okay. First, actually, funny line that he's managed to pull off.
And my note underneath said, that did make me chuckle a bit.
Yeah, it's the first line. Mm-hmm. Amazing. We're 2 episodes in. He's finally done one. Good for him.
It's the only one.
Oh, yeah.
So the cubes all seem to be gibbering and jabbering. And then they suddenly form a force field around the car. Run for it, says 19. But the force field completely surrounds the car.
Yes.
I guess that was obvious, he says. We're trapped, says Murray. That's also obvious, says 19.
Yeah, so now he's being rude to her.
I don't like this guy.
No.
I'm just going to say it again. I don't like him.
Nope.
19 tries the phaser, apparently.
Yeah, we've got phasers now. Cool.
We've got phasers, but that doesn't work.
Nope.
So then 19 calls to the other Terrorhawks, apprising them of the situation. Zero grumbles about nobody believing him.
Yeah, and also you know that when he calls the other Terrorhawks, he calls for a 1090.
The fuck is a 1090?
It's like a 1040, but with 50 added.
Right, I'm glad you cleared that one up then.
Yeah.
Thanks. So finally, 19 reluctantly admits that Zero was right about Zelda all along. I bet that stuck in his plastic little throat, didn't it?
I bet it did. Yeah. Even though all the others have realised this about an hour ago.
Yeah. But, you know, he's always late to the game, isn't he, 19?
Yeah. Yep.
And that, ironically, Zero's ability to increase his mass is the only thing that can save them now.
Yeah, but before that, Kate Kestrel says, over the communicator so that everybody can hear, "We can pull you out of the top." And then, of course, the roof appears over the car. He's like, maybe you shouldn't have announced that across the communication channels, really, yeah. Kate, you know.
Radio silence isn't a strong point here, is it?
No, no. Kept that to yourself and just done it. That would have been a good move.
So apparently Zero's ability to increase his mass is the only thing that can save them now. So go on then, get it out of your system. Get your joke about increasing my mass being my ability to...
Nope.
Go on.
Nope.
No, nothing?
No, I was actually going to talk about the fact that apparently Zero can make himself as heavy as a black hole. And then I was going to do a joke that I can do that. But also, I was going to talk about the fact that, no, if you can make himself his mass as big as a black hole, that would be mass that's larger than the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So everything on the Earth would be attracted to...
So he'd kill everyone, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Doesn't work.
Well, it seems that increasing his mass just consists of him rolling around pretty fast.
Yeah, he just rolls faster and gets bigger, which is not the same as... Because also, mass creates gravity. So in theory, if your mass is greater than a black hole and your mass being greater than Earth, everything will be pulled towards you because your gravity would be larger. It's not going to work.
Check out the smarts. Unfortunately... they're unable to call Zero. And Nystein points out that he's already told Zero that disobeying another order would result in him being taken apart.
Yeah. You know, so... pretty much, if I was Zero, I'd be like, fuck him. Yeah. Pretty much. But then I'd be like, well, Murray's nice to me. Mm. So maybe I could just kind of rescue one of them. say it's a mass thing. Because they clearly don't understand mass, so, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they're making this shit up as they go along anyway. So.
Yeah. Just rescue Mary.
So on the ship, Zero is telling himself that he won't disobey an order.
Nope.
Before rolling out and disobeying his orders.
Yeah. He's like, doesn't he say, like, I won't disobey you? Hold up. Like heck I will.
That's then, right. Yeah, we're not going to say hell, are we?
No, I just realised that.
I mean, we're all right with racist gags and homophobic things, but, you know.
Don't mention that.
Say hell.
Nope.
So he rolls along until his mass is increased and he hits the force field, destroying it and scattering the cuboids all over the place.
Yep.
Fantastic, cries Murray. It was nothing, says Zero. You're right, says Nystein.
You can't even let him have that. It's amazing.
I've had bosses like this.
You are a boss like this.
I'm a very nice boss. We've talked about this before. I can give you at least two people that think that I'm a very good boss.
this is a broadcast for the poor management consultancy firm for all his employees listening. Paul demands that you respect that he's a good boss.
I've got some staff that listen to this podcast, so, and they're very nice.
And my thoughts go out to those people.
We'll get emails now.
Yeah, but not to me, so.
No, you'll get emails going, help us.
Yeah, help us, please. You're the only one who recognises our problem.
I'm very nice.
I'm sure you are.
So they all, don't choke on it.
Sorry.
Choking on the compliment. Yeah.
I know.
So they all drive back in Hudson.
Yeah.
Who shows that he can change colours like a chameleon. Red, white and blue, says Murray, truly British.
And there we have the tagline for the Rolls-Royce advert.
Is that what it was?
No, but it sounds like it, right? Mm. It just smacks of that. Yeah. There's no point to it. It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I never thought of that, but yeah, I can see that, yeah. So cut to later, and it's nighttime, back at the house, and Nystein is talking to Zero about thinking for himself. Mm-hmm. When are you going to realise that you were designed and built by a superior being, asked Nystein, in the most sarcastic tone that I just want to punch him in the face.
Yeah, I've been there.
With all due respect, sir, says Zero, weren't you? No, he wasn't. Because whoever cloned him needs taken out and being shot, to be honest. Cause...
Yeah, but that moment is like, boom, yeah, in your face. Ah, 19, got it up the ass, third in you, mate. Ha ha.
Is it like he's rubbing his ball in his face?
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, 19. Take that. All right.
You're enjoying that a bit too much.
Good for you, Zero. Yeah. All right.
This catches Nicene off guard. Maybe I've underestimated you, he tells Zero. But again, I don't think this goes anywhere after this, does it? I can imagine that it's just reset to Zero again.
Oh, reset to Zero. Nice.
I knew you were going to do that. But but it is, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So Murray, who's been earwigging by the door. There's a lot of that, isn't there?
Listening at doors?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they don't trust this guy.
I guess that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, they're just listening to make sure they're not going to get sold up the river.
So Murray, who's been earwigging by the door, exclaims, well, I never thought I'd see the day. No, not at all.
Is that where it comes from?
So as they exit, 19 says, thanks, Zero, which really sends Zero over the moon.
Think how deprived and unhappy Zero must be.
Well, I mean, the rest of the time he's treated like shit, isn't he?
Makes him feel so great about himself.
He's one of the most interesting characters in it as well.
Yeah.
You have to work with this lot. I mean,
I know,
right? Help you. Yeah.
Trust me, I know.
I know. What are you looking at me for?
Oh, sorry.
But back on Mars, Zelda is reporting back to all her cronies, planning her next move. And with over-the-top cackling, a monster is revealed. Mm. So she's going to set a monster on them in the next episode.
Right. Yeah, apparently.
And with the noughts and crosses credit sequence playing out, and I believe that the Cuboids win this one, that's the end of Terrorhawks. Oh, so, Colin.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of Terrorhawks?
I liked it more until we did the podcast.
Why is that? Made you think about it.
Yeah. This isn't my favourite Gerry Anderson show. It's not my favourite puppet show that Gerry Anderson has done.
And you're a fan, aren't you?
Yeah, I definitely prefer Captain Scarlet and Thunderbirds to this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's inventive in places, but it has issues. And the biggest problem with it is the main character is just annoying. I don't like him. Mm-hmm. It's just irritating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of on Zelda's side, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it doesn't really work for me. Visually, it's got good points about it. I kind of like some of the puppets, but I don't find the main puppets visually that interesting as compared to the ones in, say, Thunderbirds or Captain Scarlet. So it's kind of like they almost took a step backwards. And I even sometimes confused Hawkeye with Dr. Ninestein because they look very similar to each other.
They do. Apart from one's got glasses on and the other one doesn't. But
Hawkeye doesn't wear glasses.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're talking about Hawkeye. I was thinking of Hero. But if you take the glasses off Hero, he kind of looks like the rest of them as well.
Yeah, it's weird. Ship design is great. I like the models. They work well.
Mm-hmm.
I have no interest in seeing any more of it. So for me, and this is quick because there's nothing I can really say about it that was interesting, it's a miss.
Well, all I can do is just, you know, double down on everything that you said. I don't, which is weird because I never missed Terrorhawks as a kid. I remember watching it every week, and as I said before at the start of the episode, I haven't seen this since then. So watching this did, I can't lie, it did come with a certain warm feeling of nostalgia. I'm sure you felt it as well, a little bit, at first, until it progressed.
Yeah.
But it's probably the worst of the Gerry Anderson puppet shows, I think. Considering that this was a good 15 to 20 years after his heyday of Thunderbirds, etc., I agree with you that it's not a patch on the older shows at all.
No.
The puppets don't look as good.
No.
The ship models are good. But even they don't look as good as the Thunderbird stuff, I don't think. It's not shot as well.
No. I mean, just the fact that people today, when they think Gerry Anderson, you think Thunderbird 5, Thunderbird 2, etc. You don't think Terrahawks in any way whatsoever. They all look the same color, same design.
Yeah. I think that's a reflection of the 80s, though, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
The voice acting's pretty bad as well, to be honest with you. Apart from Windsor Davis and the person playing Zelda.
Right.
There's nothing there. And then, of course, we've got the casual racism and homophobia and sexism that's in it.
Yeah.
There's a few good lines, and I'd be lying if I didn't find it amusing at times. But I'm not sure I enjoyed it for the right reasons, to be honest with you. I think it falls into that so bad it's good category. I completely agree with what you said about not... I don't feel the urge to go and watch anymore. So no, yeah. For me, it's not a hit.
Well, that's disappointing. Hopefully, in our next episode, we won't be that disappointed because we're jumping on the Marvel bandwagon. Before... there was even a bandwagon. And we're taking a look at the TV movie Captain America from 1979. Now, if you'd like to suggest a film or TV show by sending an email to retrospection@email.com.
You can also follow us on Facebook, on Twitter at Retrospecky, and on Instagram at Retrospection Podcast, all one word. And please subscribe and rate us wherever you listen. You can also hear the themes and songs from the films and shows that we review at our Spotify playlist, which I promise I will update.
Oh, I'd suggest you haven't recently.
But I will.
Okay. And finally, if you'd like to support our old episodes and help new ones coming along, then you can lower our server costs by supporting us via patreon.com/retrospection. Thank you to our current Patreon supporters. And make sure another month goes by that Paul doesn't have to become an international snake milker because nobody's told him you don't suck the venom out. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.